We're going to get started by reading from Acts chapter 5, so Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after is it sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, Yes, for so much. And Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Okay, let's pray. Now, I thought, as long as we're talking about husband and wife, Scripture doesn't always give us examples of godly couples, right? Couples who work together for good. You can see a clear case here where these two people helped each other along in their wickedness. And you can think of other couples, Ahab and Jezebel, another prime example where it says that she stirred him up to work wickedness. He was bad enough to start with, and then he takes to himself a woman who just continues the process. And I guess I bring this up just as a gentle reminder and a bit of a warning that... Again, if we're not right with God, we're not ready for marriage, because we end up taking into union with ourselves only unbelievers, because believers can't marry us. That'd be going against the Lord. And then we could end up in the registry of the lost, like these couples did. And God forbid we should do that. Better to know we're wedded to Christ, and then to labor together with somebody like that, to glorify Him together. Okay, a little bit of a house cleaning start to our session. It seems to me that the usefulness of going too much further in this particular topic is probably diminishing. We'll probably discuss one more day, or if you care to, another, about some practical suggestions for courting couples. Then I'd like to shift gears a little bit. There's a couple other things, at least on my mind, and maybe things on your mind, that you'd like to do. Let me just first open the floor. I know I didn't give you any heads up on this, but open the floor for things that you think would be beneficial to you to do in this class. Any suggestions come ready at hand? Well, if you do have any, just drop me an email or pick up the phone and give me a call, or bring them along next week. Some of the possibilities that I have that I definitely would like to do at some point, but doesn't have to be right away if you have a pressing thing. Dr. David Murray, who's a professor of Old Testament theology, when I was in Grand Rapids, not this time but last, which is in the spring, I think, he did a presentation for parents on technology, and it was excellent. He is very much up on the latest things. And what he did since then is put together a DVD presentation. It's not very long, but he not only presents the problems in a very discreet way, like he doesn't show anything or say anything that any of us, I think, would be uncomfortable our children hearing, but he makes it specifically clear the dangers in all different forms of media. But then he also presents a 7-step approach how to work together with your young people, how children and parents together can labor to use these technologies for good and to avoid some of the pitfalls. To me, the most impressive thing, aside from the seven-step approach, the statistics of how fast this stuff is growing, how many people are involved, and how much time it takes is over. I don't think anybody sitting here has any idea. But you know, just as a teaser, one statistic was like the number of people signing up to Facebook in 1 year exceeded the populations of like six different medium-sized countries in 1 year. You know, and all kinds of things. Some pretty ugly statistics too about, you know, people getting involved in the wrong things and stuff. And so I find it a very tasteful, a very discreet, and yet a very important presentation. You know, most of us, you know, some of us even sitting in, he showed us parts of it during our ministerial fraternal. And just to give an indication, okay, of how this works. It's the first part is a pretty fast-paced presentation. Statistics, you know, illustrations, charts. The older of us, myself included, I don't think I'm too old, I was sitting there like, you know, slow this thing down. I could barely read the captions and digest the material. The younger students who just graduated, they're like, this is way too slow. It's like, there it was right there. An illustration of the growing differences. And, you know, one of the points he makes is the very way our culture communicates is changing fast. You know, us older generation, you know, the typewriter generation, I don't think we really see it. But it's changing very fast. And that's going to have implications on how we learn. That's going to have implications on how people are going to digest or not digest church. I remember a professor when I was in seminary 11 years ago saying, man, if you think in the future you're going to be able to stand up there and present a 45-minute, closely reasoned, didactic information session to the culture that's out there now, you're mistaken. They're used to sound bites. They're used to, and you're not talking about like people growing up in reform circles, but people who maybe were unchurched till they were adults. They're used to a 30-minute, you know, a 20-minute plot on a television, half-hour television program, 8 minutes of which are commercials, and it starts, it builds, it finishes, and it's all visual, and that's what they feed on. And for us to stand there and talk in words that you actually have to string together and closely reason to make conclusions, that's not our culture anymore. So, you know, we had an interesting discussion too about, you know, Pastor Beakey's great passion is books, right? And they had books all over the tables and stuff like that. And somebody said, where are the e-books? Amazon.com, just this year, sold more books electronically than they did in print. First time ever. People with their little Kindles and their little tablets and their iPods and their whatever. So I'm like, you know, one of Reverend Vandeswag's children just got the i4, you know, the new Apple gizmo. I said, yeah, well. I said, let me show you something. I said, well, can you look at a document on there? He pulls up a Word document. I said, you're never going to read that on that little phone. He turns the phone sideways, crystal clear. You can read every word. And it's like that big. I don't know how they do that, but it's so clear. He said, you want to see a picture? 5 megapixel pictures, clearer than the camera I spent I don't know how much for. For $200, he's got a phone, he's got a word processor, he's got a computer, he's got everything on that little gizmo. And the pictures were crystal clear, high definition video, you name it, that box does it. That's the next generation. So I think this video presentation would be very, very helpful, at least to get us up to speed about how can we begin to approach this both from a negative perspective, but also, and very importantly, from a positive perspective. You know, we can't just close our eyes and say it's all going to go away. It's not going to go away. So how do we deal with it? So I think that might be helpful for young people and adults alike. That's one possibility. I would also like to, you know, I just thought about this after I announced it from the pulpit, so it's kind of behind the curve, but What we could do, instead of all of you downloading all of those presentations, you may want to anyway, but I could just pay the $10, get all the presentations, and we could go through one at a time here during an adult class. I'm telling you, no kidding. They were far and away the best stuff I've ever heard. Even the people I've listened to in seminary, people I've had as teachers, their presentations were better than anything they ever presented. It just seemed like God carried people along. I'm sorry, they would. They were 50-minute presentations, so we'd be stretching it just a little. We do about 45 minutes here. So if we got started right on time, told the Sunday school we're just 5 minutes over or so.
Are you going
to
record that now?
Well, they're putting all the recordings up on the...
So when I'm not here, I wouldn't be able
to... Oh, yeah, it would be recorded. Yeah. It'd be on the our website.
The same website, Sunday school website?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, for example, Ian Campbell, a man I never heard speak before, did two presentations on the Song of Solomon. The first presentation, and there's a lot of debate, you know, is the Song of Solomon just about marriage? Is it about the Lord Jesus? How is it about... He pulled scriptures from everywhere, all over the Bible. I never saw anything like it. Pulling scriptures seamlessly, weaving it into an irrefutable argument that this is not only about the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is saying about Him and what He is for us. And then he zeroed in on just certain parts of the song in the second presentation, and it was just unbelievable. And then the glory of Christ and His crucifixion, the glory of Christ and His resurrection, the glory of Christ and His exaltation. Two magnificent presentations on the glory of Christ and in glory that were just breathtaking. So, anyway, I don't want to get all reliving that now, but that's a possibility, and we don't have to do them all in a row. We could do them by times. So there's a couple of ideas. There's another thing I should have written down. Presentations. I'll think of it.
Are those presentations, I'm going to sound like the younger generation now, are they visual and audio, or are they just audio?
I don't think visual. I don't think that would have been good for some of the speakers. Most of the speakers just stand there, which actually made it even all the more amazing. You know, the one man who did a lot of flourish, I didn't care for his presentations at all. The content just wasn't there compared to these others. Now, one of them, dear Pastor Al Martin, some of you know him, he gave two presentations. Very, very good. One of them, he went 50 minutes over his allotted time.
Wow.
Now, I guess if you're a minister for 50 years, you can get away with it. But it was the last presentation on Friday night, and we were already tired going into it. And he just kept going and kept going. And I must say, I wasn't tired listening to it. But as soon as he was done, you could see a collective, you know, thing. So those are possibilities. If you think of something, then we'll do that. Okay, let's finish up, or unless you don't want to finish up, but I think I'm getting the sense that we're kind of winding down with courtship. We started to talk about things that couples can do to develop their relationship on a spiritual level. We talked a little bit about some practical ways they can develop their relationship with, for lack of a better term, work activities, day-to-day life kinds of practical things they might be doing otherwise. Are there other areas either you as young people would want to be doing or want to be talking about with a courting partner before you get married, or we as parents would want to see happening sometime during that process? And just think. Pretend it's you. You know, you're trying to determine if this person is your lifelong partner. You don't want to get engaged until you know, as best you can, some things. What other things you want to know?
How well they deal with kids. I don't know how to explain it better than that, but it's useful to know how to deal with children.
My little pet peeve. Somehow kids got into the vernacular. It shouldn't go back out again. Anybody who's raised goats knows if our children were like goats, there'd be a lot more discipline happening. This is an excellent idea. In fact, in the premarital counseling that I do, this is a huge segment. What about this do you want to know? Let's get some of the young people. What would you want to know about a potential spouse in this area? Nobody over 20. We'll start there. Huh?
He's 23.
Nobody over 23. Ian, how old are you?
24.
Nobody over 24. Do we have a 25? Single people. Only single people can answer this question. Now, get serious, guys. Huh?
Do they want to have children, or how many?
Okay. I'm going to put this down. And I'm going to put it down with a question mark.
Should there be family?
Well, you actually beat me to the punch. We look at this, and probably many of us would say, huh? But I tell you, there's a lot of young people in this generation, in the not married generation, this is a very real subject.
Okay, but
I'm not making a comment on whether it should be. I'm simply saying.
I understand that, but should we not teach our children as godly parents that should not be in our vocabulary? We should leave that in God's hand.
First, I'm going to open the floor before I give my considered answer. What do you think? Should this be even a matter of discussion?
I think it has to be a matter of discussion because you may have somebody who, I mean, I know of at least one instance where wife would like a lot of kids, come to a family with a lot of children, and the husband's like two, and that's it. You know, one thing that was not discussed.
Okay, so the discussion needs to happen simply because it's there. Right? Now, we could branch out for a minute and get into your question. It's probably worthwhile to do that. But it would take us kind of off the tracks of what we're doing here.
I'm sorry.
I'm
over 24, even though I don't look.
That's right. What do you? How did I mistake in you for a single 24-year-old? Okay, back to the pool of potential answerees. What do you think? Okay, so there's this. What else is there? Come on, this is not hard.
I think it's important in the aspect of children to see how they relate, obviously, because some families I've been around, it's a surface, and you want to know if they're used to that and they don't want to change it, or if they're responsible and they want.
What's the one word we can stick on that thing? Discipline. And I'm not going to put a question mark on that one. Although you're suggesting that might be a possibility for some people. Under discipline, like what? Subcategories, please. Young people? Shh. No whispering. No whispering. You had your turn. Okay. Like what?
Yes, you do. Divide it between like disciplines such as in corporal punishment disciplines and like schedules too, as in a discipline form of life.
So we'll do more of that, but then he's saying, okay, what about disciplined? As in somebody who's got an orderly lifestyle rather than chaotic. That's fair. Okay, what else Come on, young folks, this isn't rocket science. You've observed parenting, child rearing in other people's families and whatnot.
You're still on discipline?
Any. Nathan? Okay. Intra family relations. That's valid. But now, let's not get too far afield. We're talking about children. I'm assuming we mean you having the children and you rearing those children someday.
Biblical learning, discipline in that area. Reading the Bible, devotions.
Okay, let's find a neater category for that. How about this one? Pretty important subject. Homeschool, Christian school. If homeschool, what homeschool? What's going to be part of that? What's important to you? I know some Christian people, reading, writing, arithmetic. That's all. I know others where it's got to be a lot more than that. So, you certainly want to discuss children. There's more to this category, some pretty big things. Yes? Okay. There he goes again. Pass up, Yunga. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is a huge category sitting out there untouched. I'll give you a little hint. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what if I'm a punishment for children?
Okay.
What if they are...
Yeah. No, go ahead. There must be something, a nuance. Go ahead. What is it? Right. Yeah. So the whole category, how do you handle misbehavior? But now, listen, I'll give you one hint. That's all I'm going to give you. Just to show you this huge issue that's sitting out there. How do people view children? Now, take off from there. I don't mean like with glasses or not or context, okay? Take my hint and run with it. How do people view children?
What is the role of children in the family? Okay.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Let's see. Children should be seen and not heard, was it?
Well, Scripture says children are a heritage of the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd put that in that bucket. Come on, folks. Come on.
But I'm talking about the responsibility.
Theological category.
Talking about raising them as covenant children or raising them as children of the world.
Okay, keep unfolding that. What about within the Christian church? Never mind the world. Let's even just, how do you view children? How do different people view children differently in the Christian church? Come on, guys. Theological categories, yes? You got to talk to the last person in the magnet. We'll try just a little. You lost the thought? You're not aware of the different way people view children out there in the Christian church? That's the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg. Come on, nobody knows? Where have you been? Okay, we'll open up to the adults. Go. Help.
A generational perspective of the children that they're going to be preserving the truth for the next generation and in all areas of life.
Presupposed.
Well, I think
Fill in the blank. No, fill in the blank first. Presupposed regeneration. There are reformed Christian people who think children are saved because they are part of the covenant. You'd want to know that. That will have an enormous impact on how you even look at your children. Who these even... Can I give you an example, very brief example? We were in a seminary which was not our own. I won't even mention the name of it. Taking some classes because our seminary wasn't totally up and running in every department. These people were teaching a variety of presupposed... They would never... They'd say, if we said, you believe in presupposed regeneration? They'd say, no, absolutely not. But the fact is, they do teach that most children of believers are born again in their infancy. Well, it pretty much comes out the same as presupposed regeneration unless proven otherwise. We raised all kinds of questions in class. And I made the comment that, you know, the little nuances you're making now, I don't think have filtered down into your people. To prove the point, break time, we went around the corner, we're having a cup of coffee in the kitchen of this seminary. I asked one of their graduating students to tell me how he views his child. He's saved. How old is he? Like one. How do you know? He's a child of the covenant. So here was not just a lay person not getting the nuances that they're saying in class. Here was a graduating student about to be a minister who didn't get the nuances. That's a big deal. Now, there's another way of looking at it too, on the other end of the spectrum. What's that? Okay. Yeah, sad to say. Go ahead.
Boy, I've grown up around a lot of people who believe this. I guess I've heard it called the doctrine of safe and saved, or age of accountability, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people believe, such as you are saved or going to heaven until a certain age where you become accountable for your own sins.
Okay. Now, without even delving into the particulars, can you see how important this is? Could you imagine marrying somebody who thinks that way if you think another way? Or if you assume this and the other assumes nothing? You know, and maybe it would be helpful, like, you know, you were talking about, you know, to go into this subject, and we could do that, but I would prefer doing it under a separate heading, all by itself. Same with this. How should we view children? What does Scripture say about what children are? What does covenant mean? What does being a child of believer entail, and what doesn't it entail? Those are pretty important things. So, that would be an area worth discussing. Now, here's the kicker. Most young people don't discuss that. Why? Why do you think most courting kids don't think of kids? Children think of discussing this. Why? It's obvious. Come on. Maybe, but there's actually a sadder reason. This is down the line. This is future. I've met couples, and I'm not denigrating anybody here, but one is Baptist, one is Reformed, and they say, "Well, we'll deal with that. We don't have to deal with that now. We'll get to that when we get to that." That's a great recipe. Just kick the can down the street and it'll maybe go away. So these issues are very important. Okay, let's just break with that a minute. That's a category. Give me another category that we haven't discussed yet that you would want to know about a future. Now we're back to the young folks again. Excellent. Okay, the whole... And not just how they deal with finances... Let's start at the very theoretical level. What are finances for? We just heard this morning, we don't own anything. Now, you can have very different attitudes toward possessions, toward income, toward what life is all about. You know, this may seem like a very unimportant subject. It is not. Because sometimes it's at the center of some people's heart, whereas God should be. So you're going to want to know that, right? Let's do some subcategories under this. What sorts of things would you want to know about a courting partner under this category?
Debt.
Okay, what is your attitude towards debt? Give me some subcategories. What sub-questions would you want to ask about that? Okay, what is your view of the use of credit? Never, under certain circumstances, always, for what purposes, right? Those kinds of questions. What else under debt? What else under debt? There's more than credit cards.
Would a mortgage be exempt?
Okay. What about mortgages? There's tons of Christians who, and literally many, many Christians who, they don't look at mortgages in the whole debt philosophy like this. A lot of Christians say we shouldn't be in debt, but they exempt mortgages. I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I'm just saying that's something you want to be compatible on, because it's a pretty hefty ticket if you're going to have a mortgage. What else? You're not in the category. Yes? Okay, so college debt. We'll let this one sneak in. Car loans. What else about finances? Okay, take debt off the table. Is there anything else you want to know? Excellent. Is that a take for granted thing anymore?
You should talk to someone like how she's doing. Oh, that was grand. I thought that was grand. Sorry.
You're going to have some disciplinary action. No desserts today. One more time. No desserts today. This is not a take for granted thing. Again, I'm not debating this issue. I'm simply saying this is not. Now, let me poke you a little bit. You know, I hear the this shouldn't happen. Give me some sub-thoughts. What are some considerations here? Why or why not this should happen? Okay, so what would be a good way of putting this? Environment. What would be the working environment? I'll just expand on what you're saying. That would be one consideration. What are some other considerations? Okay. What if, let me throw this one, very common scenario. What if they're just married, they don't have children yet? Would that change your opinion until the children come along? Let's say she can handle all that. Now, would there be a difference between, and I'm not judging any of this, I'm just throwing in to give you some food for thought. Would it be different if Rochelle was working in an office surrounded by guys?
Yes.
Right? Do you realize?
In this case, she's still working.
No, I'm just simply saying, sometimes those real easy answers, no, yes, maybe so, up until children, they're not quite as simple as people say. A great deal of infidelity takes place at the workplace. You know, in today's business world, flying two unrelated people across country to the same hotel for a convention, they don't think twice about doing it. Are you going to do that as a Christian man or woman? You know, these are the kinds of things. I'm not saying you're going to talk about all that stuff in a courtship environment, but certainly you're going to want to talk through that. You're going to want to talk through this. Some women assume you just work until you have children. Some men are like, Huh? That wasn't the plan at all. And again, we could take whole days, multi-days on each of these categories, and that's not my intention here. I'm simply alerting you to the fact, and you're alerting yourself to the fact, these are things to be talking about. What else?
Lifestyle.
Excellent.
Some may be accustomed to
luxurious lifestyle, whereas others are... What do you mean luxurious? I only have a couple of BMWs and they're old. You know, there are some people who you say luxurious, they think normal, right? So now, granted, remember the thing way back when you're even considering somebody, that's probably going to be a consideration up front. But that doesn't, see, let me say one little thing here to get you clued in. You may say, this person is more or less my standard of living type of person when you look at their family and their lifestyle. That may not be what they're aspiring to. There's people who grow up in those circumstances, they can't wait to be like the Joneses. Okay? So these are things worth talking about. What does this stuff mean to you on the heart level? Because a lot of this stuff gets tied together. And now,
I've been really quiet and really good. Can I please say one that's very, very, very important?
One what?
That they're missing one thing to add to this list.
We're not done yet.
Okay.
Before we eat lunch, if it hasn't been said, you can say it.
Fine.
Come on, young people. You know what it is, right?
Work ethic.
Okay, good. That kind of ties back to something we talked about before. I forget where. But a person's work ethic.
I'm pretty sure they're going to miss it, but
okay, you're on the no dessert list. You're on the no dessert list. One more. Shar, you're taking down these names. Now, wait. Let's not go by this too quickly. I have heard of men, real life, they come home from work, they sit in their chair, and this guy used to do this. And his wife would dutifully come over with his slippers and his paper.
Is that wrong?
No, sir.
No, sorry.
Just let me know when you're in town again, I'll come over for the counseling session. So, in other words, okay, what is your attitude? Maybe a guy thinks, you know what? My job stops when the clock is punched at work. That's it. Okay, your wife may be had an operation, flat on their back. That's going to do you a lot of good, right? Dishes pile up, stuff doesn't get vacuumed. No, you're going to, you know, so this is important. Work ethic outside the home, work ethic inside the home. How do you view your roles? Oh. What are your respective roles with regard to finances? Who's making the decisions? How do you filter decisions? Now, be careful, because the Proverbs 31 lady, if you read about, she's out there buying a field. Her husband's in the gate with the yonders. Right? So, now, did she ask him? I don't know. I don't read that part, but she's doing all these things. Is there delegated authority? Is there an understood authority? That stuff should be discussed. So there aren't misunderstandings. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I just want to know.
No, I'm just. Roles?
Yeah. That was.
You stole it, David.
The moderator is exempt from all roles. No. Actually, yeah, all right. Fair enough. That's fair. Anything else, young folks?
We kind of touched on it, but how much time would be spent in work in your career as a man? Because
yeah. So.
You know, well, are they 6 days a week? Maybe different. Yeah, are they
comfortable? May I take off on an already suggested category? This is actually more important than you may realize for a number of reasons. It is very typical, and I'm speaking to everybody, including myself. It is very typical when children come along that women become mothers and they stop being wives. I've known lots of couples who they lose each other. That was one of the things we were doing in our marriage class, right? How do you stay connected? How do you carve out time for us? You know, we got married first before Johnny came along, right? So Johnny doesn't displace husband. Johnny comes in alongside husband. But there's only one flesh union in that house, and it's not Johnny and Mom. It's husband and wife. So that'd be hard to talk about, granted, in a pre-marriage situation. It would definitely be interesting to explore how that looked in the home from which that person came. Yeah, and you've already discussed it. It wouldn't be like a complaint session, it would be, remember when? Yeah, good point. Okay.
The roles thing was kind of what I had, that it was basically who controls the finances, if someone actually controls it. Is it, because I mean, I've seen different circumstances where it was very useful for the woman to take care of that because the man wasn't gifted with it
right.
at all. And other cases where it was vice versa. And
precisely.
Some cases where they could both kind of work it together and it was more a mutual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a real important one.
So, more, yes?
I was just going to say under the finances, you might want to know whether they even had a method of financing.
Good point. Excellent. Excellent point. Think. What do you? Honestly, there are people just sail along. My mother, I love my mother, and maybe she's at the place in her life she doesn't know what's in her checkbook anymore. She just writes checks and sends them. Never balances a checkbook. It's like, okay. No, they don't bounce. So I guess Dad's. Pension is holding out. I don't know, but those are important things. Did you ever give it budgeting? Something as simple as budgeting. You know, is the money going in faster than it's going out or not? Savings. I haven't talked about savings. What is your view towards savings? Should you give away excess to the Lord and His kingdom? How much is enough to save? People argue over that. Some of us haven't been faced with that problem, but. You know, some of us have, yes.
Charitable,
okay, floor is open, any age.
Donating, things such as that too, because if one is very free with money when it comes
yep.
to donating to people and being charitable,
yeah.
and the other is more, doesn't want to, that can be an issue as well.
Yeah. So you, and I'm sure we can go on and on and on, but you see, right, there's a lot of stuff here. Okay, my only question is, do we do this again next week or do we do something else? All in favor of doing something else, raise your hand. All and want to do more of this, raise your hand. All comatose persons, leave your hand down. I mean, that doesn't help. You can't just sit there and not say, because then it's like, okay, so what do we do next week? Let's try it again. Who wants to do more of this next week? Raise your hand high. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. The eyes have it. We'll come back. Now, no emails, no phone calls, and no suggestions this morning about categories. You're supposed to come with them. So if you want to have a session next week, don't expect me to come here with 3 or 4 or 5 more things to talk about. I've got a few other things to prepare. Yes?
No, I won't be here, so I can't really. But wouldn't it be important to go into those things like family planning, discipline, and explain how that, you know, how that topic should be brought up between the?
We could do that. I'm open to that.
I don't put up my hand because I probably won't, well, I know I won't be here next week, so that's why.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you're speaking for your family, but I'm simply saying I'm willing to do that. But that's got to be something that we want to do. Because I think they're all important, and I think they're all worth talking about, and I'm willing to moderate that discussion. Because they are important, yes.
You know, from what I'm seeing right now, I still think it's a profitable venture to continue on
but, you know, there's, before we go into the fine details of some of these objects, there's still a lot of areas that you can draw forth.
There are.
Just the major categories.
Yes, there are.
That have not been even touched upon that
yep.
are going to be important.
Right.
I know in my lifestyle and in anybody else's lifestyle that mm-hmm. I know we all have probably things that are totally off that board.
Let's get them on the board. Because who wants to be caught by surprise? And, you know, obviously young people, you're looking at this and saying, yeah, right, we're going to do all this? That's going to be some fun relationship. Okay, honey, let's do finances for the next 3 weeks. And, you know, but you are, I think, getting sensitized to the fact that if you don't weave this in, you're going to do it now or you're going to do it later. And now is much better than later, even though it might mean you got the wrong person on the hook. Better to find that out ahead of time. Yes?
One thing I see that, you know, we're looking at these guys sitting down discussing this or venturing into some of these fields. But a simple trip somewhere to the mall or to dinner or to my whatever the case may be, and pretty much hit about 15 different avenues just with the visual subject
line. Here's my American Express card, sir.
Yeah, you know, or let's go shopping for shoes.
Yeah, right.
However,
no, you're right. You're right. This isn't always sit-down talk. You can see
no,
this. You can see this stuff.
Yeah.
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 You didn't notice my Armani shoes this morning. I mean, sure.
Just a little example. I know a young lady who was courted by three different young men who basically ended the relationship because she didn't plan to have a career.
Wow.
Until she found one that said, no way, you're not working out. Or one found her, I should say.
Interesting. So it's relevant.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.